First John chapter 3, starting with verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, I just want to kind of look at this verse a little closer than just reading through it and moving on. Because the word now, I would take a pen, if I were you, I would take a pen and I would underline the word now. Because most Christians do not know how to live in now. Most Christians are living in the past, but they're not living in the now, which is present. Then they're living in the future, but very seldom do we ever find ourselves really occupying now, because it's so simple. It's so easy, really, to get in the past, because that, you know the past. You've lived the past. You're comfortable in the past. It's easy to go to the future because you don't have any control of that. And you don't know what can happen. You just never know what's going to happen, right? But if you live in the now, this is a place of knowing. Because I know what's going on right now in my life. Right now, I know. Would you know when now is? Now is always now. I mean, 5 minutes from now, now's not there yet. But now is now. Right now, I'm in now. I'm in now. Mm-hmm. See, now is always now. And you can learn to live in now. And you really can't occupy now and future at the same time. Think about that a moment. Can you occupy two places at once? No. Being a triune being, you're a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. You can get all three parts of you in now. And God's now. Now you're doing something. See, now, I don't know if you've thought about that, like in those terms, but now is a very important word in your living every single day of my life. Now is important. Because when I want something from God, I don't want it to happen a year from now. I don't want it to happen 10 years from now with this longing and desire and hope so kind of faith. I want a now faith. I want a knowing now faith. I want to know that I got it now. Because now is always now. Yes. It'll never be anything but now. Now is always going to be now. And you see, I want to tell you about the Lord. God lives in the now. In heaven, God is now. Now God is. Now God is. The substance, now God is. You can say now faith is, now God is. Mm-hmm. God is always now. God never exists in the future because he's already in the future. God doesn't exist in the past because he is in the past. God inhabits eternity. God is always now. And the enemy has always diverted our attention from now by making us remember past experiences, living in the past. Our brains take us and keep us locked in the past. Mm-hmm. Our brains can also send us into the future. Mm-hmm. And you can ask God for something, but your mind will say, well, you know, it will happen one day. Mm-hmm. And I've been in many church services where I've heard heaven preached in the by and by. Mm-hmm. In the by and by. And I would think, well, it's way off somewhere, by and by. And it was never a now relationship, a never a now presence. Heaven was never now to me. Mm-hmm. Because I was religiously brainwashed to think like that. Right. Religion will brainwash people. It'll whitewash the truth. And it makes you feel good because, well, it takes a lot of responsibility off of us. Mm-hmm. If we know that it'll happen one day in the sweet by and by. Mm-hmm. We'll all understand one day. Now, those are not things that you'll find in the Word either. You can't find those, what I just said, in the Word. Because if you read the Bible in the context of God, it's always now. It's always now. God's Word is God. You cannot separate what God has said from who He is. If Jesus is the Son of God, He'll always be the Son of God. If He was the Son of God 2,000 years ago, He's still the Son of God today. If His word was true 2,000 years ago, His word is still true today. If He said it to somebody 2,000 years ago, He would say it today. See, God never changes. That's the sovereignty, awesome sovereignty of God. That is a truth. I mean, you know, we can live in truth. And truth is always now, because God is the truth. God is truth. Now, I'm kind of making y'all think a little bit about this, because I think that we just get up every day and do our routines and do our living and live our lives out, and we find ourselves, wow, it's 2013. Where did 35 years just go? I spent a lot of time spinning my wheels and hoping something would happen, or hoping I would achieve this, or hoping I would have this, and hoping I would do this, and hoping is always future. Do you know hope is always future? There's nothing wrong with hope. Hope is an important ingredient. You got to have hope, but faith has got to be an ingredient, active faith. And now, hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you start with the hope, and the faith gives substance to your hope. But faith is always now. This is the way the kingdom of heaven is. This is what governs the kingdom of heaven. And I struggled for many, many years just trying to understand God. And God said, you know, you're trying way too hard. You're trying to figure me out rather than allow me to reveal myself to you. See, God just wants to reveal Himself to you, and you have to receive it. You just have to receive it. It's just like you've got to have a receptor ready to be teachable. A lot of people are not teachable about spiritual things because there's that religious wall is so thick on their brain. It's like you say something spiritual to them and they, well, that doesn't fit in my religious mode anywhere. I can't find a place where that fits in my religious thinking. If John was here today, standing right here, he would say the same thing, and he would say, we are the sons of God. Now, you're born again, you're a son. Let me ask you a question. Anybody come from big families? Birthed into a family, you can be meaner than a snake. Get a beating every day, but you're still a son or a daughter. You're as your family. And so what God is really wanting us to understand here, in this particular verse, I believe, is that now we are sons of God. Do you know what an awesome, awesome title that is, to be a son of God? Not everybody carries that title. Not everybody say, I'm part of that family. I could not say I'm your sister by birth because I'm not in your family. Your mother didn't bear me. Your father isn't my father, so I'm not in your family. There's no difference in what God is saying here through the Apostle John about family. We are, the born-again believers are sons of God. Now that's an elevated place in the mind of God. God has literally taken you out of the realm of darkness where Satan was your father, and He's given you the spirit of His Son, and He's given you the spirit of adoption. The Holy Ghost was imparted to you and adopted you into the body of Christ, the Son of God. He was the first begotten of the Father. He was the only begotten of the Son, of the Father, the Son of God. He was the first Son of God. Now He has a bigger family. Family's been expanded. Now you're, and there is no male nor female in the kingdom of heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be male nor female. So you're a son in the spirit realm. God doesn't look and see, you know, your gender. He sees sonship. He sees His spirit of His Son in your spirit. And you've been made a new creature in Christ. So you've been given the spirit of adoption where you can, like Jesus, say, Abba, Father, Father. Now God is your very own Father. I'm His very own Son in the Spirit. That is an awesome awesome, awesome thing he's got done for us, children of God. I can't go out here and preach this to everybody because not everybody's in the family. We are in a family. We are sons of the living God because of what Jesus did and his death, burial, resurrection. He was the first. He was the first begotten of the Father. And he sent forth his Spirit into our hearts where we now can cry, Abba, Father. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, you know that baby can be born into your family. I'm talking about big families. And there's big brothers and there's big sisters. And the baby definitely gets the advantage in the family. Because you got brothers and sisters older than you that can help you know the ropes. Know how to get away with stuff. Help you. Grow you up faster. I think a lot of time the baby has the advantage because they got a tutor right on board all the time with them, hanging out with them. And so I think it's real important that, first of all, a child of God realizes you're a part of a family. Now, what happens? What happens when you disconnect from your family? What happens when you do not stay connected to mom and dad? When you go away and say, well, you know, I don't think I need those folks anymore. I think I'll just move on. Doesn't mean you're not family. You know, you might have moved away to West Virginia or somewhere and never heard from you for a while. But that doesn't mean you're not still a son or a daughter of the in the family. You're still connected. Whether you're the distance, what I'm trying to say is distance does not make a difference. Location doesn't change it. Your attitude doesn't change it. Your perspective of your family, you could hate your mom and dad, but you are still their child, whether you like them or not. That's the one thing you cannot change. You can change your name, disown them, never talk to them again, but the truth of it all is the fact that you're still, your origin. But I believe that where the body of Christ, where we as Christians have really failed to understand that we have an origin also. We have a basic truth that we all have in common. If you're born again of the Spirit, whenever it happened, wherever it happened, you're in family. You are a son of God. Now we are the sons of God. Now that now word, let me go back to the word now. The now word has become more real to me because I've learned how to live in now. I don't say I've got it all down, but I am learning as a child of God to learn how to live in now. And now is a very important thing to learn to live in. Not my past, my future, but now. Because everything I have, I understand my connection to God as my Father and Jesus as my high priest and as my brother, my friend. And now I am a child. I'm not a servant anymore. I'm a child. I'm not a servant. I'm a son. The son has privileges that a servant doesn't have. You know, I don't know if you ever went home to visit mom and dad, but did you ever say, Mom, can I have permission to get in the refrigerator, please? You just go in there and you get whatever you want. And if you were like my sister, you'd bring every boyfriend you had and you'd feed them too. And mom would go in there and try to find some. It'd all be wiped out. She had a boyfriend that ate everything. Because you're family. You feel the privilege of family when you know who you are. You move away from home and come back home and you think mom and dad cares if you eat anything. No. Son or your daughter. You're theirs. You belong to them. They recognize you. See, God recognizes you the moment you got born again. You were recognized and known of God as another son or another daughter. You're a family member now. And that makes you special to God. And you've got privileges and you've got rights and you've got ownership now. And you've got awesome, awesome blessings that are available to you. Walk away from mom and dad, you might miss out on the family potlucks. You might miss out on the things that God is doing if you're not walking in there closely with God. I would try to stay close with God because I want to know what he's doing right now and what's he got for me right now. See, God's got things for me now and not me. I know he's got things for me in the future to do because I'm not there yet, but I can't worry about there because I'll get there sometime. Sometime now, that future moment will be a now moment for me. But right now, I've got to take care of me now. You understand? We just have to start thinking about now because God does not live outside of now. So now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Let me tell you what I believe that really is saying. We are going to be, what are we? Sons of God. It doesn't yet totally appear. I mean, my hair's getting gray. You know, I'm getting a little saggy here and there. Doesn't mean I'm not any more of a son or a daughter than I was when I was 22, 25, 35. You can't look at me in as an appearance. It may not, the natural things of man, you can't look at appearances. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. And it's not yet appearing completely in the scene right now what we're going to be, what we really are. But it will. It will appear. It's going to show up. We will, but what we shall be, but we know. Now, where do you know? But we know. We know right now. Because we know in the now. Remember, if you think in the now, you know in the now, you talk in the now, you live in the now, you know in the now also. And you know you cannot believe beyond your knowledge. You cannot know. Your knowledge is important, what you understand and what you know, because you can't believe something that you don't even know about yet. But he's talking here about we know. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be exactly like him. Now, your responsibility as a child of God is just like one of these little kids. They're going to start looking like mom and dad. They're going to start acting like mom and dad wants them to act. They're going to start believing like mom and dad wants you to believe. Most, you know, parents influence their children, right? And that you want your children to emulate you or be better than you. When Jesus appears, we are going to be just exactly like him. And when that happens, it's going to be a now moment. When Jesus comes, we're going to be just like him. And it's going to be, now I'm just like him. And it happens. You can say, now I'm exactly like Jesus. Now he's been working on my spirit all this time. He's been working to get me in the now in my thinking. He's been working to get me thinking like him now. He's been working on me to get me believing like he does now. He's been doing everything, but there's coming a now when everything's going to be in the now. Your body's going to be in the now. Everything will be just like Jesus, and it's going to be a now moment. That's when, heaven, you'll just be out of here at that moment. That's when all of us are going out of here, because he's going to appear. He's going to come back and get a glorious church that is a church who understands who they are right now in the earth. Now, I don't happen to be out of the earth yet. I happen to be still in this earth suit, living on, gravity's keeping me on earth. But there's coming a day when we are going to see him face to face. We're going to absolutely know Jesus face to face and see him face to face. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. Let's look at that one just real quick. 1 Corinthians. Let that sink deep into your heart that you are a son and you can only be a son. Your potential as a son is always in the now with God, because God is a now God. Your father is a now father. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then will now be a now. Then, when then is now, that which is part in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or fully grown, fully mature, fully grown up, I put away childish things. Now, that's just the truth in every area. I mean, if in the natural and in the spiritual realm. That is a very spiritual truth. But it works, like I said, in the natural and in the spiritual. It's chapter 13, verse 9, for we know in part. That means we know right now in part. We don't know everything because we're not in heaven yet. Now, if I was in heaven right now, in every way, I mean, I'm talking in every way. I wouldn't be here. Would I? When I die, I'm going to be in heaven, not in part, but fully there. Now, I'm there in part right now. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. So, yes, there's a part of me that's there now in heaven because of Jesus being there in heaven. But that's only a part of me's there. The whole me isn't there yet, but the whole me is going to get there. Your whole you is going to be there one day. One day, you're going to be walking around in heaven. And it's going to be your now. Heaven now. I'm in heaven now. You think people in heaven don't know they're living now? When is, you know, heaven's just always now. You see, there's no time in heaven. When you take away time, take an element of time out of the way, you've got now all the time. That's just kind of hard for us to grasp. Do you understand that? Because I'm talking about something very, very heavenly. So look at this verse again. But when that which is perfect is come, talking about Jesus. When the kingdom is come to earth, when everything is come, I'm not sure in what context he's talking about here, Paul, but I believe he had a glimpse because he went to heaven. He had great revelations of heaven. Great revelations. Man of God knew a lot. And if he would say what he just said, there's a lot more to get from God while we're here now. See, he had a lot of revelation now, but he's talking about how much better it's going to be when we're there in heaven and our now is in heaven. Escape now. You might want to get in the future, but you're not going to get there just by wanting to. And you're not going to get in the past. You can't go back and fix anything in the past that mistakes you've made either. Believe me, if I could do that, I would do it. If there was a time machine, I would wind back the clock and I would go back there, change some things, and then come back. Maybe I wouldn't come back. But then, if you know, there would, because we're constrained to time here. Am I stretching your thinking just a little bit here? Do you understand that God is God? We can't tell him what to do. We can't order him. But I tell you what I can do. I can get with the program and live in his now and understand what my place is in the kingdom now for me. I can't fix you. I can't fix anybody, but I can live in me now. I can't live in anything but me. And I live in now all the time. Now, if the devil can get you thinking in the past, then it's going to affect everything. It gets everything out of whack. I'm going to tell you, it really gets everything out of whack. You start thinking too far in the future, you're going to miss enjoying now. That's the saddest thing that I think the devil did to me, was he always had me so projected into the future, and I'm always in my mind living in the future that I never enjoyed now. So when I got there in the future, I was still pushing forward into the future, and I never enjoyed the future that I was looking to get to. Does that make sense? So I never, ever enjoyed now. I never rested in now. I always had to fix it. I always had to make something better. I could never enjoy my now. But there's a place in Christ where you get to where you know it's always now. Because now faith is. So anyway, he goes on and he says, for now we see through a glass darkly. There's that word again. For now we see through a glass darkly. Do you know you cannot, by taking thought, add 1 inch to your height? Try it. Just try making yourself an inch taller. Oh, you want to be shorter? Just try making yourself shorter. You think by taking thought you can do that too? Mm-hmm. It's just things that, I don't care how hard you try, you in your own power cannot fix it or change it. But I have an almighty God, a Father, who knows how to, who literally can do anything. Let me brag on my father. Let me tell you about my daddy. My daddy can make me taller if he wanted to. My daddy can make me rich if he wanted to. And let me tell you, I know he wants to. My daddy said, I'll withhold no good thing from you, child, because you're my very own child. I will give you anything your heart desires. I will do anything you want me to. What do you want me to do for you, child? My goodness, daddy, let me think. Oh, I want this one day, and I want that one day, and one day. No, he says, I don't mean in 10 years. I mean, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now for you? Right now. Well, let me think. And so your thinker starts thinking, but you cannot imagine that God wants to do it for you right now. Oh, but when I get to heaven, God will do that for me. No, he said, I want to do it now for you. And I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture. And I can confirm it with his word, what I'm talking about right now. In his word, now. Because that God's not thinking about what he wants to do. Well, he's always got plans for us. You know, he knows the thoughts. He said, I know the thoughts I have. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you a future and hope. I know the plans I have for you. And God does have plans. Because he knows we're constrained by time here. But there is a now that God has got to get his body into living in order to enjoy all the benefits he has right now for us. Because the enemy's tactic is to keep us always in the future, always pressing into more. And I want more. Yeah, I do. But I've got to start living in what I have now. I got to start living in revelation now. So when I pray for something, I believe I have it now. I don't believe it's going to happen and materialize 10 years from now. I believe I have it right now because I know heaven backs up my now. I can call those things that are not as though they are now. I can have healing now, not 10 years from now, 5 years, 2 years, maybe a month. I know now I'm healed. I know that whatever God says I have it now. And you cannot mentally assent to that. I don't care what it is you're asking God for. What is your heart's desire? What is it you want God to do for you? You have to believe it and receive it in the now. And you can't just say, well, one day, and then keep looking off into the future and living in that future moment. No, I'm talking living in the now, for the facts. And so he says, now, verse 12, I just want to finish this. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Thank God I do know now in part. I do have some now that I know right now that I can live in. Because I'm not in heaven yet. I'm just not, well, you know, obviously I'm here. But there will be a day when Teresa's gone from here and I'll be beamed up there. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready to go. And I won't be here anymore, but I'll be absolutely there in every way, shape, and form. The whole complete me will be in heaven. And then he's talking about all these things we won't need, you know, we don't need prophecies then. Verse 8 talks about, you know, these things will vanish, the things we need right now in heaven, because it's all going to be complete there. But we're right now in a place where we have to get more knowledge. We have to get more love. We have to let these things develop in us, because if we don't start walking in now, these fruits of the Spirit and all the things, we need them now, because in heaven, there's not a lack of any of that stuff. Heaven is an abundant place. Heaven is so full of so many wonderful things. Heaven is a place of absolutely zero lack. If you can imagine, heaven is so rich and so wonderful. Because I heard a little boy talking about how he went to heaven. You ever hear Heaven is a Real Place? You saw the book? Ever heard of the book? Heaven is a Real Place? Well, I saw him interviewed. He burst it at the age of 3, and he was in surgery and he died and he went to heaven. And he said the first part, he said there was a sister that met him at the gate of heaven, the portal. There was a portal there. And that this sister walked up to him and just grabbed him and hugged him. And he looked at her and says, who are you? And she was older than him. And she said, I'm your sister. And gave her his name. And he goes, oh, really? And then another family member named Pop come up to him. And he said, I'm your grandfather. He never met his grandfather. He said, I'm your grandfather. And the little boy said, everybody in heaven, this kid's only about 12 now, but he said, everybody in heaven is either between 25 and 35 years of age in their appearance. That's when they stop. And he said, but when a baby dies and goes to heaven, or a child dies prematurely and goes to heaven before they get to grow up to that point in heaven, and then they stop. Wow. So there's a lot of things we don't know yet. Until we get there. Thank goodness for the people who have gone and come back and share a little of that with us. They say there's colors in heaven that we've never seen. Now, I can't imagine a color I've not seen, because I've seen almost every color there is. Because I've been in art my whole life. I used to paint. I know colors. And I can't imagine a color that I couldn't mix and create, mixing palettes and paint. I mean, because I've had every color out there. But there's colors in heaven that we've never even seen or can't even imagine. How do you make yourself imagine something that you can't see? There's smells that are in heaven that we've never smelled, and we can't imagine those, because without knowledge, you have no understanding and you have nothing to compare to. Now you can say, well, it's like this, but it's not really that. So when we get to heaven, we're going to have a full-blown experience of the now in heaven. And heaven will be lived out in its fullness in our now. You are not enjoying life right now if you're not living in your now. You're not enjoying living if you're not in the now. If you're always pressing in to get something in the future, you're not enjoying your now. If all you can think about is what's coming ahead, you're not enjoying now. Because you can't be in both places at the same time. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. We have a Heavenly Father who is in the now for you now. He wants you to enjoy who He made you to be and enjoy your development, enjoy your growth in Christ, grow up in Him, and enjoy now. Enjoy being a Christian. Enjoy being a child of God and find out what you've got. Know everything that you can have in Christ. You can know all that your privileges are in Christ right now. You can know it all. I believe that every mystery can be made manifest, because for one thing, there's scriptures that back that up also. But as far as living in it, you're not going to live in it to the fullness until you're in the now in heaven. Okay, I think we can have revelations and God can reveal to us what is ahead, but we're not there now in the reality of it. Does that make sense? Because the Bible says, "I hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." But He's revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we can know freely those things that are given to us of God. That's in that, you know, that's scripture. So we've had it quoted just halfway, because nobody wants to dare get into all things. What are the all things? The Holy Ghost, well, all things really means all things. It really does mean all things. So we can know, but we are not there yet. Okay, that's all I'm really trying to share here. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Now here's another now word. You need to underline the word now. Here's where you live right now. There is therefore now no condemnation. Whew, thank you. I'm so thankful I can walk around in no condemnation right now. Amen. I walk in the now when it comes to being condemned. You can talk about me all you want. I don't live there. You can talk about my past all you want. I don't live there. I'm in the now. I'm in what God says about me now. I don't live in my past. I don't live in condemnation. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So where are you? I'm in Christ, and I'm in Christ now. That's where you got to stay, because if you get outside of being in Christ, then you will be in condemnation. You will be in fear. You will be in lack. You will be in all kinds of things, but you've got to stay in Christ. That's the key to the now with no condemnation. You see, there's over 130 times in the New Testament where it talks about what you are in Him, because outside of Him, you are nothing. That's where the adoption is in Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. Everything that we will be and have in the now with God is always in Christ, because He is the way to receive it all. And that's who we are in. He's in us and we're in Him. Just like the song she shared this morning. I in Him, He in me, I in Him, He in me. We are one with Him. Just read St. John chapter 17, the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, I would that they be one even as we are one. You see, we are one in Christ, and that's where we have been given sonship in Christ. He's the reason you have been born again. He hadn't come, you hadn't been born again. So there's no condemnation now, ever. You're always in the now with no condemnation. And when you start feeling condemned or you feel like you're not any good, find out where that is coming from. Find out the source of that I'm not any good feeling. Find out, why am I feeling like I'm no good? What is making me feel? Because see, that's a sense realm thing. That is a sense realm conductor making you think that or feel that. Feelings are important. I like having good feelings about myself. I like feeling good. But I wake up a lot of times and I don't feel God. I don't feel good. There's just happy moments not all the time in my life. Everybody likes to live in the happy. But I don't live in happy. I live in faith. And faith is always now. And faith in who He says I am. Faith is not feelings. You just have to understand, faith is not feeling. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Bingo! I've just got a revelation. Y'all get that? Wow. So if you want the criteria to work in your life, the now, no condemnation, you can't live your life in the now in the flesh. You've got to live the now in the Spirit. See, the now is always going to be in the Spirit. Once you're born again, you're in a spiritual family. Your father is a spirit now. And you've been born again into a family of other spirits. Now, I know we're still in our flesh, but that's that no in part. Because we can't be there yet. Because if you didn't have your body, you would be in heaven, I promise you. Everybody in here, get rid of your body, you'd be out of here. Because the body can't live. I mean, the spirit needs your body to live in. If disease takes you out of here prematurely, your spirit is going to be out of here. That's why it's important to keep your body healthy through your human spirit. You know, I've had a conversation, I won't tell you who it was with, and somebody that is struggling with drinking. And they said, you know, I just really need that buzz. I just really need it. I said, let me tell you something about that buzz. I like that buzz too. I like buzzing all the time. In fact, I like buzzing so much that I stayed buzzing all the time. And I couldn't get much done for the buzz. That's how bad it got. But I mean, everybody needs a way. Everybody needs to relax, you know. Everybody needs that, don't they? And I said, well, you know, there is a way. There's a way that's way better than that to get a buzz going on. And I said, let me tell you about your human spirit. I began to talk about the human spirit. And I said, do you know that the main reason people like to buzz is so they can escape reality? They can escape the pressures of life. They can run away for a moment. It's just a break time. I'm going to take a break and take a buzz. I'm going to check out for a minute. I'm not talking to anybody here, am I? Anybody in here talking? Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Come on. I mean, I'm not the only one that liked to buzz. I'd still like to buzz. But I don't like it now. I mean, I'd still like it. Let me tell you something. The flesh always will like the buzz. You know, I know so holy that I can't tell you the truth. Anybody would like the buzz. If you ain't never had the buzz, you like the buzz. I'm just being real. Because I'm a very real creature. I'm a very real, and that's my nature to be real about things. And I'm very real with God about things. But the truth is this. Here's the truth. Here's the real truth of it all. That the highest way of life is when your buzz that you need to escape looks dumb. And it looks meager. Because the dominating part of you, the spirit man, wants to dominate that problem rather than escape the problem.
That's good.
Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Because your spirit now can dominate, and once you get the dominating going on, you don't need the buzzing anymore. You don't even need it. What's to escape from when you're dominating? What are you escaping now? What are you doing it for? There's no purpose now. Because your spirit man has risen to a place where you can dominate that problem that's wanting you wanting to run from or escape from. Or that pressure you're trying. You're dominating it now through your human spirit. Most people never understand how to dominate. They want to run from it. They want to escape rather than dominate. And it's just for a few minutes, or it's just for an hour, or maybe just for a Friday night I want to wipe myself out. And that's maybe the only night they do it. And they justify, but if they just really, really were walking in the things of the Spirit, they would have already dominated their life to the point where they would have enjoyed every single now moment throughout that week to its fullest potential in the living in the now of who they are as a son. Does that sound too far out for everybody to get? What if everybody, think about this, what if every single child of God, and you have complete understanding and knowledge of your position in Christ, who you are in Him, remember 130 times it says in Him, and you understand who you are in Him, how do I dominate now with the Word of God now? So that I am never depressed, I'm never forlorn, I'm never forsaken, I never feel any of these things. These feels, I can feel them, but they don't affect me. That's what I guess is what I'm trying to get to. That I can walk around just knowing who I am now. Condemnation is probably the biggest thing most people deal with. And that's one of the biggest things people like to escape from, is feeling like they're just nothing. They're just no good. condemnation is just, they're eat up with condemnation. They just failed this one and they failed that. And they can't make anything work. And so they live in condemnation. And they live in it all the time. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period. None. So how do you get there? How do we get to the place where you can say anything about me you want, and I just, well, you can do that if you're in Christ and you live. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Scary thing that there are Christians who are walking around as enemies of God because they ain't thinking right. You don't want your spirit man born again and connected to God and all that heaven has, and then your head blocking what God wants to do for you, because that brain of yours is thinking in an enemy type territory. You got your brain in enemy grounds, an enemy way of thinking. You're still thinking like your old father thinks, the devil. You're still thinking the way he thinks, and you're still operating under his way. That's an enemy to God. Do you know the devil is God's enemy? And if you're still thinking the way he thinks and doing things that he would do, if he were still your God, that you could be born again, but your mind is not going to function with God. You can't flow with God thinking the way the devil thinks, thinking the way the world thinks, planning things. That's where a lot of Christians are messing up. A lot of us miss God and get mad at God when things don't work right, because we've never understood how to operate in the kingdom of God. We're still trying to make God function in our rules. Am I preaching to anybody? See, the carnal mind is just death. That old sinful thinking of yours, ooh, just flesh, flesh, flesh. Do y'all understand the five physical senses? The sense of taste, the sense of touch. Just let something go out of whack and you're just mad. Your feelings get affected. We're a complex being. But God knows your heart. And God says, I want you to understand how to live in the now of no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And there's two laws. It talks about it in verse 2. There's the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. You cannot operate under both those laws at the same time. You're either living in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, or you're operating under the law of sin and death. See, the carnal mind, it operates under the law of sin and death 100% of the time. That carnal way of thinking. So that's always, it can look at the Word of God. That carnal mind can look at the Word, quote the Word, could even know the whole Bible verse for verse and tell you all about it. But if it is still just mentally assenting that God said that, they're not living in the now of it. Through their spirit. Does that make any sense? I see it clearly. I can see that. I am so thankful I see that. I don't want my head in control. My head will talk me out of things. But my spirit knows the truth, and the truth is what makes you free. He told me years ago, he said, you're going to know the truth, Teresa. And the truth is what's going to make you free. Free from what? Free from the law of sin and death. Free from condemnation. Free from fear. Free from whatever I need to be free from. The perfect love casts out all fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, God wants us to grow up and be mature in him and be a son and walk as a son and know sonship. You can be a son but still not know you're a son. You can walk away from your privileges. Most Christians never walk in the now of sonship, because their brain is still functioning against God. If your brain's thinking against God's way and God's word, it's enmity. It's always going to be enmity. I don't care who you are, how rich you are, what you got, what you don't have. It don't matter. The carnal mind is an enemy of God and his way of doing things. And you're deceiving yourself if you think you're going to enjoy the benefits of heaven and still thinking like the devil. You can't do it. Talking like the devil, thinking like it ain't going to bring the kingdom into your life. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, what is that verse in? Do y'all remember the verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Y'all know that one. For without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Well, where is? It's in the now. God is always in now. Well, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is now. Because now is always, faith is always now. And he said, you've got to believe that 100% of the time, not just when it's convenient. You live in the now, in the kingdom of God, because God is now. So then they, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You better be pleasing God. And the only way to please God is to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. It says it in Habakkuk. It says it in Romans. It says it in Galatians. And it says it in Hebrews. There's four witnesses that the just shall live by faith. And I can't live by your faith, and you can't live by my faith. And faith is always now. Because now faith is. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is you. If you can step up and read this verse, and your spirit leaps in you, and you say, that's me. That's me. I'm in the spirit. That's me. If you can set your name by that verse right there, you're doing something. Because you finally are starting to be, just stop being the little baby Christian who's wah-wah all the time. And now you're starting to grow and realize, I can have everything God, Daddy wants me to have. And now I'm learning how to get in the kingdom and walk by faith in the now. Now faith is. Faith is what faith is like a magnet. Faith will attract. Fear is like, and fear is like a negative force that brings the negative things. Did you know that? Did you know you can talk negative and it absolutely will attract it? Fear and talking fear attracts whatever it is you're fearing. Let me just tell you out there, it's your negative words and your negative thoughts and your negative things puts out a scent and it attracts that negative thing to you. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It matters what you say. It matters. It's very important what you say. Because it works in the same op. It's just like it. But faith, if you're speaking life, life and death is in the power of your tongue. Your tongue has power to bring things to pass. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking, whatever it is you're talking, it can come, you can, you're attracting it. Mm-hmm. You're sending out the scent. Come on. You know, skunks attract other skunks, don't they? Job said, the thing that I fear is the thing that came upon me. Well, why did he fear it? Because he was talking about it all the time. Burning incense and burning sacrifices. Oh, I don't want this to happen. And he kept talking and talking and talking, and sure enough, it happened. Put up a big red flag here. Neon lights. Here I am. I want drama. I like drama. A lot of people have drama in their life because they like it. They're attracting it all the time. Because they talk about it. They think about it. They live it. Is one of the biggest challenges I've ever had in ministering to people and counseling people is getting them out of their past and getting them into the now so that they aren't a big light bulb for the devil. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, well, I've done that. Well, are you really believing it in your heart? Or you just still have it in your stinking head? You said, we can just mentally assent that God's word is the truth, but until you know it in your heart, it's true. I speak to devils. And devils hear me because they know I know who I am in Christ. And they obey me. And that cannot come out of my head. That has to come out of my spirit. Talk out of my spirit. I've learned to talk to things. I told this gentleman I had the kidney stones. I said, I typed him a message and I said, I've learned. I said, most of my prayer time is speaking to situations rather than begging for things to happen. I speak to things. Because if I know it's not legal in heaven, it's not legal here either for me. If it's not legal in heaven, I don't have to put up with it here. Because I'm made to sit in heavenly places. That's my realm. That's where I live and live in the now. See, I live in the now there and here because I'm connected to there. And if it's loosed in heaven, then I can loose it here. Bondage. Sickness is such a bondage. You can loose that and you can get free. But it can't be in the future. It has to be now. Because in heaven there's no sickness now. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Don't you think he's pretty positive here about those Christians in Rome? Hey, you all ain't in the flesh. I know you all. You all ain't thinking like, I'm just letting you know there's people out there that are like it, but not you all. Do you hear this? Do you hear him sharing this letter? He said, you know, this is the way it is if you're a carnal, but you all ain't like that. You're all in the spirit, I know. Like, I'm looking at everybody here. We're all in the spirit, aren't we? We walk in the spirit. We know who we are in Christ, don't we? We know there's no condemnation right now, every moment of our lives right now. We walk in that no condemnation way of life. We walk in the law. We are governed by the law of the spirit of life in Christ all the time. We don't ever walk in and out of that law. We let that law cover us. We allow that law to dominate us. See, I'm a dominator, not an escaper. I used to beg God, take me out of here. I don't like this place anymore. Let me go to heaven, please. He never would let me go AWOL. You ain't going AWOL. You got an assignment. There's people you're going to help. Okay, well, I just really don't like this place. See, that's really a carnal way of thinking. That's really a very selfish way, and that's the way babies are. Babies are selfish. But if you ever decide you want to grow up, you ever decide you want to become a mature Christian, you ever decide you want to be profitable for God's kingdom, you ever plan to have a reward when you get to heaven, you need to be doing something right now. Because your rewards will follow you. And they will manifest for you. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, it don't matter what you're sowing, you're going to reap whatever it is. So you might as well reap the things of God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the carnal man can't please God. It just said it, didn't it? I'm just speaking out of my spirit here. And if Christ, and let me tell you, if you miss it, do you think you're outside the law? You just get back under it. You just get back under that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is nobody needs to stay backslidden in the kingdom of God. Nobody. If you missed it, say, I'm sorry, Lord, from your heart and mean it. Repent means I'm really going to change this. I don't like being like that. I don't like being ugly. And then God will give you grace to overcome it, whatever it is. What it is. There's nothing too big for God or too hard for God. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, this is talking about all of us. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's talking about the rapture. I believe also it's talking about your organs. I believe it's talking about anything that needs to be brought life to. Whatever is dying in your body can be quickened by the Spirit of Christ who dwells in you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you, this is the consequences if you decide to do that. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Well, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. It just makes sense because death works in our members. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. Like I told this person, I said, your flesh is what your problem is. And your spirit is not, you've not been feeding your spirit. You've not been spending time in the Word. You don't even take time to pray and talk to God. And you don't, what do you think? Your spirit's just going to be a little, if you don't eat every day, do you not get weak and puny in your physical body? If you don't get a meal, you want to work 8 hours today and pass a meal? People do it and they get weak and they get sick, don't they? Well, if you think your spirit is going to be dominating your flesh and you never pray, you never read the Word, you never seek God, you never put the things of God first in your life, your flesh is going to dominate you and your flesh is going to work death in your members. That's just the way it works for everybody. This is be informed. Have knowledge. Let's have some understanding that that's just the way it is. I had to come to the end of me and I had to say, okay, this is the program. This is the way it works. Then I'm either going to get on board and do it God's way, or I'm going to just live any way I want to. I may go to heaven when I die by the hair of my head or skin of my teeth. It's not going to enter into heaven. It just isn't.
That's
And I just don't play around with something like that, that is that important. Eternity is a very important thing to live, concerning. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, live out of the flesh. For if you live out of the flesh, you shall die. Verse 13. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Through that dominating thing. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If everything God said is true, and I believe it is, then we need to listen to what he is saying by his Spirit through the pen of Paul the Apostle. And he says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Father, Daddy. See, I got Daddy's spirit in me. I'm connected to Daddy. Oh, my Father God is my Father. I'm not a renegade anymore. I might act like a renegade. One of your brothers might have been a renegade. But he was still Daddy's kid. And life gets tough when you don't live under the laws of Daddy's house. There's house rules. I don't care who you are. Is there not house rules? Might as well find out what the rules are so you can live in them and enjoy benefit. I tell you, God is pleased with faith. And I told God, I know I can't give you nothing much. This is my heart. I said, Lord, I can't. There's not, what do I have that I could give you that you don't already have? Is there anything? I'm not like one of these people that has everything, and what can you come up with that he doesn't already have? Nothing. But there's one thing he doesn't have. Do you know there's one thing he doesn't have? And that's your will. That's you. You are the only one who can give God you. You're the only one who can make you completely his. And you do that by faith. You do that by believing what he said. And you do that by submitting to his will. And submission and humility and subjection to the work of God and the will of God is huge. Huge. When you finally give up your wants, wishes, and desires for his, you trade places and you come into a place of submission to him, lordship. Let me tell you, there's three enemies to faith, and I wrote them down this morning. Putting the blessing of God into the future. That's a huge enemy. You want something from God, but you can never seem to have it now. The other one is mental assent. Big enemy to faith is that your brain will talk you out of it. You'll be just like the devil in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? Did God say? And you're always fighting. Well, yeah, he said that. Yeah, he said it. And you're always back and forth. You haven't settled that. You haven't settled that in your heart yet, that God is always true. You have to settle that. That's a faith issue in the heart. Stop thinking about it, trying to figure it out. Walk in what he says. Trust him. Three is yielding everything about your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Saying, here I am. I'm going to sell out to you, Jesus. You're going to sell out anyway one day. That heart stops ticking. It's over. It's over anyway. Might as well sell out now. In fact, you might as well die to yourself now. You might as well kill your stinking flesh now. You might as well. I'm going to do it your way no more. I'm going to live for God out of my human spirit. And I'm going to know that what is truly mine as a son. And I'm going to walk in sonship. I'm going to walk as an heir of Christ. I'm going to know what God wants me to know. I'm going to know completely what God wants me to know. And I'm going to manifest it in the earth. I'm going to manifest this way of life. We're not talking normal, fleshly, carnal things here this morning. We're talking about our Heavenly Father's relationship to a son. The relationship God wants us to enjoy as a child of the living God, who is always in the now. If you have something you need something, you don't need it 10 years from now, you need it now. And so I embrace it in the now through the Spirit. I have it. Whatever I have. That's why Jesus said, what's the things you desire when you pray? Believe you receive it and you shall have it. When did you receive it? You received it when you prayed. And you pray in the now. I can't make that any clearer. When I know I got something, I know I got it. If I know I got God's stamp of approval on it, that seals the deal for me. Whether I see it in the natural yet. Because everything you see in this natural started in the spirit realm to begin with. Everything. Even your problems started there. Even things bad happen in the spirit realm first. You don't want to be a magnet for bad. You don't want to let off a bad scent out there either. You have to deal with right now. The right now better be where you live. Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for it. I just thank you for the revelation of who we are right now in Christ. In Jesus' name.